Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Oz.
Thanks for joining me today. I thought we would discuss something that is so basic that you've probably seen yourself but never really understood. That's because ophthalmology is couched in Latin and Greek. People don't know the terms, and even when they're being examined, their eyes are dilated and can't really recognize what's happening. So what's in an eye exam? Well, there's much you can do to protect and care for your eyes, and obviously it's something you should do every 1 to 2 years, depending on your risk. And it's important to ensure your eyes because it may also be a monitor for your continued health. I thought it was reasonable to share with you the 7 major components of an eye exam. First is visual acuity, testing your vision. Second is refraction, or spinning the dials or putting lenses in front of you to see what's better 1 or 2 in order to determine what is your best distance and your best near vision. There's always a decision to be made after that about how to choose what glasses. Third is peripheral vision. Well, it can be done in a very unsophisticated way with just patients staring straight ahead and the doctor wiggling their fingers in the distance. By doing that on the periphery, you can detect a stroke or even a significant loss from tumor or glaucoma. Next is the external exam, meaning the eyelids, the pupils, the eye movements, the lashes, the conjunctiva. That may be the reason you came with dry eyes and blepharitis. Those are the things that we want to eliminate, but especially have to determine and observe. So in the beginning, we have a history and we have your vision. And now it's time for we, the eye doctors, to do the exam. So Part 4 was the external exam. Next, we do what's called the slit lamp exam because it's a slit lamp of light that looks through the eye. Since the eye is a bag of water that's clear with 2 lenses, a cornea and crystalline lens, we can look into the eye. We also measure your intraocular pressure called tonometry. The eye's a bag of water. It's under pressure. We know there's a range of pressure. It can vary in different people, but it's also a biometric that is measurable from time to time, especially if people have glaucoma or inflammatory disease. The last item is looking at the back of the eye called a fundoscopic or ophthalmoscopic examination. We can do it with a direct ophthalmoscope. We can do it with a handheld lens at the slit lamp, or we can put on the headlamp like a miner's gear and do it with a lens. But it all begins with a history once again. The history is both your present issue, how severe, how often, when it happened, if at all, or did your wife make you come in for the visit? The history includes your past medical history. Knowing you may have Lyme would help. Knowing you have an outdoor exposure and you have a red eye may help, etc. Often the history is taken by a technician, and then followed, repeated by the doctor. So it's important, it sets a context. We may ask other questions later on as we see things in that eye examination. So the eye had been tested individually with correction, and sometimes even with a pinhole. It's a shortcut to give us an idea of how good your vision can be if you didn't have your glasses with you. Then the patient and the doctor make a decision. Do you need glasses? What do you do? Do you need them for distance? Do you need them for near? Use computer? Do you need all 3? It becomes somewhat overwhelming. But when light is focused through the eye onto the retina, it either lands on the retina or it doesn't. If it goes behind the retina, people are nearsighted. They have to move the object closer. If it lands in front of the retina, which is actually nearsighted, that is a different situation than being farsighted. The farsighted person sees better far. The nearsighted person without glasses sees better near. Then there's astigmatism, meaning that some directions of light are different than others, like the letter T. You would see the crossbar in a different position than the vertical bar. There is also what's called presbyopia, when people's eyes after 40, 45, or 50 start getting weaker, and then they need to have reading glasses. So all those decisions come up: bifocals, trifocals, progressive, transitionals. But those are things you can think about and try. And if you go to a good optometrist or ophthalmologist, they will allow you to have a month or two in order to light the glasses or return them for something else. Very important to have that choice. The external exam can look at the pupils, again, the lids, the person's face. We can also look at how the person walks in the room, how they sit, how they respond to the eye chart. All of those things kind of figure into your assessment of what the person needs, or even if they're scared and vulnerable. For instance, if you tell people your pressure's up, you may have glaucoma, you don't start by telling them they're going to go blind. You tell them we have some advanced testing. And with advanced testing, we can determine, do you really have something, do you not? And the doctor should be the maitre d'. He should lead you to the table and give you a menu. So there always are choices. Know that there are always choices. We also have accessory exams in ophthalmology because we're professional tinkerers. We can check bulging of the eyes for thyroid disease and measure it and use that as a comparison. We can do glare testing, which is often used for cataracts, to determine how do they do under bright conditions. I mean, it's nice to be in a dark room with a well-contrasted chart, but how do they do when it's bright out there or at nighttime? Do they recover from the glare from headlights? We can use prisms to measure double vision. Schirmer testing, which is using a tear strip to measure the watery level of your tears. It's a way of saying with dry eyes and blepharitis, what are the components? We can put a dye called fluorescein in the eye and look at the tears because now they're colored. Are there little defects in the conjunctiva or cornea? We have the OCT, which is a computerized, technological, laser-driven MRI of the eye, and you can look at the macula in high detail, in micron depth. You can look at the optic nerve in glaucoma. We even have things such as low vision. When people don't see well, it's not the end of the day. If we can put in a Hubble microscope and a camera into space, we ought to be able to help people who have moderate vision loss. So going to the eye doctor, getting the exam is important. Whether you're going to use contact lenses, glasses, or laser vision surgery, you still need to be evaluated and to know the risks and benefits of each step. We can talk about those things at another time. But the key component is you have to be a good talker, and we have to be a good listener. 80% of diagnoses can be made by the patient. The problem is they don't realize they have all the information, the epidemiology, and the severity. A good eye exam can bring that out and even bring out other medical issues and other parts of the body. So with each of the seven steps, there's information that can lead to diagnosis, referrals, and dealing with issues, whether it's headaches, dizziness, or even double vision. I have created the Eye Care Revolution as an important way to provide information for people who need to know what our eyes are all about, or even to look up their own condition. So it's important to know as much as you can. My website is eyeadvisory.com, and the radio page for Radio MD. So, please be your best medical detective.